Hey everyone, it's time again to crack open a cold one and talk real estate with Mike Ferrante from Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team, based in Cleveland, Ohio. We are chatting about all things real estate, from agent training, real estate investing, buyer and seller tips, and more. It's free beer and real estate.
All right, we're recording, so anything you don't want recorded for posterity forevermore, don't say it. Hey, Jason. Looks like Tony's joining us. All right, let's get going. All right, so guys, quick teaser here. I'm going to tell a story, very short story coming up about the $20,000 mistake that I made with regard to insurance. And this is coming from a guy who's been in the real estate industry over 30 years. So stay tuned if you want to hear that story. And of course, if you're watching this later on YouTube, please consider subscribing to our channel. All right, so with that little teaser out of the way, let me do introductions. I'm Mike Ferrante with Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team. We're a real estate team. We cover Northeast Ohio and recently expanded into Columbus, Ohio. We're about 30, 32 agents now. We're going to do over 400 transactions this year. We do this training weekly from 11:30 to 11:50 or so Eastern time to just kind of share information with agents and the public. You know, this one today is all about insurance and again, all the stuff that we thought we knew. So we've got a special guest on, which I'll introduce Colin in just a second. Broker owner of Homestar, Tony Geraci, has jumped on. So Tony, I'm going to give you the honor of introducing yourself because there's just so much to say. I don't want to screw it up.
I'll keep it short. Well, I'm Tony Geraci, broker and owner, Century 21 Homestar. Been in the business 30 years and 23 years here at the office at Century 21 Homestar. And we got going on 500 agents right now that we manage and help and coach and mentor and all of the above. So
best way to reach you, Tony?
Is also always text 216-374-1269. I usually on the phone almost every second of the day, either through text or phone. So text is how I organize
myself. Now that text line, that goes to an admin or somebody, right? We don't actually have your cell phone, right?
No, there's right there. There's a couple right there just coming through. So we're actually there's no admin. I'm too OCD for that.
That's right. These texts and occasional phone call goes directly to Tony. And the best way to reach me, of course, is mike@21mike.com. Now I'm going to introduce the guest of honor. I'll just do a quick intro and then Colin, I'll let you elaborate on that. So when I realized how little I actually knew about insurance, I thought, you know what, I need to share some of the stuff I've learned in a few short months that I've known Colin. Colin is with State Farm Insurance. He owns his own brokerage in Mayfield Village. I got that right, Colin?
That's right. Yep.
Yep. So you know what, take it from there. Tell us who you are, what you do, and give me your contact info now and we'll do it at the end also.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Colin Doyle. I'm State Farm agent, Mayfield Village. As we talked about a little bit before, for anybody who wasn't on before, but handle all insurance for all of Ohio. So I was telling Mike, we have customers in Columbus, Cincinnati, and all over. The probably the best phone number is the office phone number. It's 440-646-2530, as well as email. So my email is Colin. And I'm Colin with two L's, not one L. A lot of people can confuse that, but it's two L's. It's C-O-L-L-I-N at insurancedoyle.com.
Probably a Google search will turn that up too. So one of the things I wanted to mention, and Tony, maybe you can help clarify this. I know that recently the state has really cracked down on agents referring in threes. So I think a lot of us say, oh, I already have an insurance agent. But really, they want us to refer in threes. Tony, can you elaborate on that? Because I heard something coming down from the state on that.
Sure. But definitely. Well, it was definitely relating to inspectors that's written into the law. You have to show or at least prove that you've given someone inspector wise. But we suggest, you know, being in the business so long and seeing, you know, things happen, it's just that you should give at least three suggestions. And even if they have somebody, let me just, you know, don't want to take up too much of your time, but even if they have somebody, make sure you give them three suggestions because that might fall through. And also I've seen agents, they have their own and then the agent says, okay, good. And sometimes the buyer thinks, well, that's your stamp of approval on them. And then if something goes wrong, well, you told me to use them. And I'm like, well, I you said it, you got them. And I said, that's okay. I wasn't stamping them my approval, but always, you know, back yourself up legally with that.
Of course. And I'd say do it in writing. You know, we use a team disclosure and all those referrals are in writing so that if someone says, well, no, you told me to use Dewey, Cheatham and Howe insurance company. That's a Three Stooges reference for those of you who might not know that. But, you know, you told me to use them. I'd say, no, look, I gave you three names here in writing. So back to insurance and back to Colin. Colin, how do we know what kind of insurance we need? Because obviously, like, I think that back in the day, I thought, well, you just buy insurance. I own a property, I buy insurance. How do I know what kind of insurance I need and how do I make those comparisons?
Yep, that's a good question, Mike. So, I mean, the big thing, I mean, for, you know, all the realtors that are out there and people that are, you know, doing the transactions is really what type of customer that you have. So, I mean, there's different types of customers that need different types of insurance policies. So for instance, if you're placing a tenant into a home or somebody that's going to be renting, you know, a renter's policy is going to be something that comes into play there. So renter's policies will cover personal property coverage. It's going to have liability coverage in there. Typically it'll have a loss of use type of coverage in there. So, you know, that's for like somebody to replace a tenant in there. If you have an investor, let's say you have an investor and they're coming out and let's say they want to put a tenant in there and it's they're trying to make an investment on this. So you're looking at more of what's called a rental dwelling type policy. Rental dwelling policy is going to differ from a homeowner's policy because it's not going to have as much personal property coverage. So, you know, we're still covering the exterior of the building. We're still covering the liability, which, you know, I always tell people that's probably one of the most important parts of having a rental dwelling policy is just making sure that just in case if somebody trips and falls, or if, you know, we've had a situation where somebody had carpet and they tripped over the carpet, right? Something like that can happen. And I mean, of course, they're going to go after the landlord for that. So that's where you're looking at more of a rental dwelling type of policy. If you have somebody who's looking to purchase a home and they're going to be occupying that home, now you're looking at more of a homeowner's policy. Now, yeah. Homeowner's policies can have a couple different components to it. So you can have a homeowner's policy or you can have a condo policy. So, you know, the homeowner's policy is what we're going to be covering the exterior of the property. We're going to be covering personal property, liability. So if something happens inside your property, as well as loss of use type of coverages as well in there. Condos can be a little bit different because now we're looking at, you know, maybe the association is covering the exterior and now we're looking at just kind of like the studs in, right? So we're looking at, you know, the countertops, cabinets, the flooring. I mean, those are the types of things that we're covering under the building property coverage. There's also still personal property coverage and liability. So
the liability is so huge, Colin. I'm glad you brought that up because frankly, you know, I'm not worried about wind blowing part of the roof off. I worry about it, but not like I worry about liability. You know, from a property owner standpoint, that is the biggest potential loss that you face. Probably not the most common. And actually, if we have time, I'm going to ask you about common losses. But the other thing I wanted to ask you real quick is, of course, when we're comparing insurance, the cheapest policy is always the best one, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we always tell people really, really look at your policy and dig into your policy, you know, because a lot of times people look at their policies and say, hey, it's, you know, $300 less than what you're offering, right? Well, there's a lot of things that may go into that. Maybe there's certain perils that may not be covered, or maybe there's, you know, different deductibles, or, I mean, there's a lot of different factors that come into play. And so we really say, dive into your policy, look at your policy, talk to your agent about it, and really, you know, have a deeper discussion about what is covered, maybe what's not covered. But also, I mean, there's sometimes components in there of, you know, Mike, we've talked about this before, the actual cash value compared to the replacement cost. So, you know, it opens up a lot more questions in terms of what your policy looks like.
I was going to do that later, but let's talk about that right now. Yeah. I kind of understand actual cash value versus replacement cost. Let me try to take a stab at this. So actual cash value is market value. So if I've got a house and it's worth $150,000, actually, let me do a different one, because I've got houses in inner ring suburbs that aren't really all that valuable. $80,000 house. Okay, I got an $80,000 house. I can insure it for actual cash value. But to replace that house, to rebuild it, you can't build a house for $80,000. The replacement cost on that might be double or more. Can you explain the benefit of actual cash value, or I'm sorry, the benefit of replacement cost coverage versus actual cash value? And maybe give some examples of like where you might be left holding the short end of the stick if you have an actual cash value policy.
Sure. So, I mean, the big difference between actual cash value and replacement cost is that the actual cash value is going to pay out for whatever the depreciated value of the home is. So, to your point, you know, because a lot of times we get people that say, well, the market value is $80,000. That's what I want to ensure. Well, rebuild versus market value, in an ideal world, yes, they would pair up and they'd be the same. But a lot of times, you know, rebuild value versus market value don't line up. So, you know, the actual cash value is going to pay out for the depreciated value of the home. So think of it like your auto insurance, right? Because your auto insurance is going to pay out for, you get in an accident and you total your vehicle, it's going to pay out for whatever the value of that vehicle. So if you had a policy that said, hey, your car is going to have, you know, be $20,000 and, you know, we're going to replace it up to that $20,000 mark, That's kind of what the replacement value is. So we're looking at it as like a similar construction. So, you know, some investors look at it and say, you know what, I'm okay with actual cash value, because if something happens to my property, I'm just going to walk away. I'm okay with just getting the value of that property. Other investors say, I want to have it as replacement cost, because if something happens, I want to make sure that I'm able to rebuild this house as a similar construction.
This podcast is brought to you by Mike Ferrante from Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike team, real estate agents serving all of Ohio. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or you're an agent looking to partner with the number two team for Century 21 in the entire U.S., contact Mike via email at mike@21mike.com.
Tell me about what you told me, though, with like say a windstorm, Superstorm Sandy comes through again and tears off the roof of my house, okay? Yep. And the roof is going to cost me $10,000 to replace it, but that roof is 20 years old, two-thirds through its life. Tell me about that.
Yep. So the big part of that, yes, to your point, Mike, is let's just say if you have a 20-year-old roof and you know they give it a 30-year lifespan, you're only going to make out for whatever the depreciated value of that roof is. So really, maybe a one-third value of what they would pay out for. So you know, in terms of a roof, I mean, typically the roof is going to be your largest, you know, it's expense on your house, you know, if there is an issue there. So, you know, depreciated values, you just paid out for that, you know, whatever the value of that roof would be. Compared to replacement cost, you're looking at replacement cost in terms of similar product, similar construction in terms of the roof.
Tony, I want to have you chime in here. I know you've been doing this a long time. You know, you're pretty new in the business, a couple of years. I'm sure you have seen some crazy insurance stuff over the years. Before I move on to the next topic, anything to add or ask Colin about or a story to share?
Yeah, basically the number one thing is letting, what's the best thing for people to do when they're letting a seller stay in the property, you know, to cover themselves as an owner and buyer. And two, it doesn't happen too often. Sellers, when we get back into a market where some houses are sitting for a while, and sometimes sellers buy a new house and move, and then their house is sitting vacant for a month, 2 months, 3 months, you know, while it's being sold and didn't let their insurance company know. And I know there could be issues if left vacant for a certain period of time. So those, you know, are the two main things I always make sure our agents are aware of.
So Colin, let's do the second one first. You know, you're selling your house, you move out, obviously different type of coverage is needed. And to Tony's question, more specifically, like how long does it sit vacant before you need to think about these changes? So go ahead, take it from there. I know you understand the question.
Yeah, so vacancy, I mean, there's vacancy endorsements that you can put on. Let's just say if you, if you own that house and you're selling it, right? Let's just say, I mean, typically we see these situations where maybe a parent passes away, children now have the home, nobody's living there, they're checking on the house, but you can put a vacancy endorsement on that policy. Now, for a new buyer that's coming in, and let's just say, you know, it's going to be vacant for a month or 2 months, there are vacancy policies that you can use for those types of situations. Typically, I mean, insurance companies want to see tenants in that property, because if something happens, Mike, I know you're going to talk about your story. If something happens, they want to know, hey, a pipe burst, or, you know, the roof came off. And, you know, if there's nobody in that house, there's nobody to explain that, hey, there's an issue that's going on. So to your point, yes, I mean, you want to make sure that, you know, insurance companies know that it's vacant. Now, there are certain things that, you know, I mean, for us in particular, we know that if you buy a property, you're not going to have a tenant in there the day one. You know, we look at it and say, you know what, you're probably going to cosmetically, you know, fix up, you know, the carpet, paint the rooms, things like that. So as long as we get a tenant in there within 30 days, we're typically okay with that. Obviously, we talk to underwriting about it, make sure that they understand that.
Right. And so the reason this is so important is because the coverages differ. So when you have a homeowner's policy versus and a dwelling policy, the coverages tend to be better than a vacant home policy. And so here's insert story here. I'll tell my quick story. I learned this the hard way. We were flipping a house. I did indeed have a vacant policy. I at least had the right coverage. But what I didn't understand is that vacant policies don't cover a lot of stuff. And we had a pipe burst. I didn't even know it, but there was a pipe running through the attic, and it was a hot water pipe. And in some cases, hot or warm water freezes faster than cold water. Sure enough, it burst. And Colin, guess which room it burst over? The most expensive room in the house, of course, the kitchen. And so the kitchen gets trashed. I said, well, gosh, lucky I have that vacant home policy, you know, because I have insurance just for this. And of course, what did I find out? Pipe bursts aren't covered, because that's just how they are. They know that's one of the biggest risks. So, you know, that's it. And so I had to pay for the renovation of the house, the re-renovation. I had just finished it, had it on the market about a week in, the pipe burst, and I had to renovate the house a second time. But that's why it's so important to have the correct coverage. So number one tip I learned from that is all vacant houses get the water main valve turned off everywhere. I don't care if it's my house or your house, if we're selling it, if you guys don't take anything but one learning tip today, vacant homes turn off the water mains. So I'll step down from my soapbox. Anything to add on that point there, Colin?
Just, you know what, I always tell people, the more you tell us, the merrier. You know, I mean, just with insurance agents, sometimes they don't want to disclose certain things about that. Tell us if it's vacant. You know, we always will say, let's look for maybe another, you know, vacant policy that we can get you into, because that's a big one. Another one is the flipping one. I know you talked about a flip. I mean, there are certain companies that don't want a flipping type of policy. There are companies that will do, you know, a policy while it's being flipped.
Yeah.
But not all companies do that.
I think the important thing, going back to my point earlier, is how do I understand all this? Like you said, dig into your policy. I look at that stuff, Colin, and I often can't make heads or tails of it. So I think it's really important to, as you alluded to, get together with your agent and really understand, compare and contrast. Let's get to Tony's second question, because this is something we hear from agents all the time. Hey, there's going to be some period of time when I have sold my house and I'm staying there, technically not in my house anymore. It's your house. It's Tony's house. Tony bought my house, and I'm going to stay there for 3 weeks until I move out. What should I do? I mean, my homeowner's policy is no longer the right policy. What should I do, and what should Tony be doing to protect himself? It's his house now. He bought it. I'm staying there for 3 weeks. What do we do?
Yep, good question. So this happens all the time. You know, this happens really all the time when it comes to, hey, I can't move out until this date. So, I mean, what we always recommend doing is on that transfer date, you know, you always want to have continuous insurance coverage. So even if you go from a homeowner's policy to a renter's policy, you just want to make sure that you have plenty of coverage just in case, because a big portion of that is the liability, right? Because now you get into a question of, well, if I'm in the kitchen cooking and I don't technically own the house anymore, you know, who's liable for it, right? So, I mean, the insurance company is going to go with whoever is equity, you know, whoever's equity is in that house, right? So, so let's just say if you have a renter's policy, you know, now your liability is going to cover for those. So, you know, a big portion of that is just making sure that you have enough liability coverage. If you are that renter, make sure you have enough liability coverage on there that if you start a fire and you have $100,000 of liability, but the house potentially is worth $350,000, well, you've got to make sure you've got enough liability coverage on that renter's policy.
If I burn the house down with a kitchen fire, you're saying?
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Now, what if it's just a day or two? Colin, it's only going to be a day or two. Do I really need to get a renter's policy in place for a day or two?
Now, each company looks at that a little bit differently. I can tell you from a State Farm purpose, we give a little bit of leeway in terms of, you know, days after that. So you wouldn't necessarily need that. Now, typically in a situation like that, you still want to have some sort of, you know, you still want to have some sort of coverage. So even if you're moving to another house, you know, it still would extend potentially to that last house. So you should have something that you're kind of moving towards, if it's a homeowner, another homeowner's or a renter's policy.
Cool. You told me about a product that you offer. So as realtors, we understand what a home warranty is. It's usually purchased at the time of the sale of the property. So I buy Tony's house, and he or I pays for a home warranty. It covers me for a year. It covers major mechanicals, furnace, appliances, that kind of stuff. But when that expires, I know you can renew sometimes with those warranty companies, or if there's no warranty in place, I did not know you offer a product that is similar to that. And it sounds like it might be less expensive.
We don't really get into the appliances space with that one, Mike, but it does cover your bigger ticket items like your furnace. A lot of times that's the big thing. So when somebody, you know, just moves into the house, it doesn't make sense to carry that coverage on there right off the bat because you have that warranty. But a year into it, it makes sense to kind of look at coverage like that. Now, it does cover for mechanical and equipment breakdown. And so a policy like that, or an endorsement, I should say, is smart to look at. We also have, and I think I was telling you about this one too, Mike, we also do have service lines coverage. Service lines covers all the lines that go from, so water, sewer, gas. You know, I mean, I can tell you, I live in a house that's 80 years old, right? Who knows how old those pipes are, right? So there's coverage that, you know, we all get the letters in the mail from the water company and the sewer company. So we can cover this on as an endorsement on your home.
That's really a cool product. So listen, guys, I hope you learned something today. And if nothing else, you know, you've got Colin here from State Farm, who could be a potential additional person to put on your list. Colin, once again, why don't you throw your phone number out there so people can reach you?
Yep. So the office phone number is 440-646-2530. And email colin@insurance.com.
Awesome. Tony, anything to add? Colin was so thorough, I don't know that there is.
No, that's it. You just got to keep your clients, buyers or sellers, have a conversation. You can't tell your insurance agent enough of the situation, no matter how big it's small, exactly when you're moving in, exactly when you're moving out, who will be there. Yeah, when you're really moving in, not like I brought some furniture there and then going back to my other house for a month and coming back. Not like possession is not move-in date when you get the keys. So, and hopefully nothing bad ever happens to anybody, but you got to protect yourself.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Tony, for joining us. And don't forget YouTube channel. If you're watching there, subscribe.
We hope you enjoyed Free Beer and Real Estate from Century 21 Homestar and the 21 Mike Team. Please subscribe to our podcast and find us on YouTube by searching for Mike Ferrante, Cleveland Realtor. You will find videos, training, and even recipes from 21 Mike's Vegan Kitchen.